what are different aspects you'd be looking for if someone's like, I want to start supporting my lymphatic system? What should I consider having in my routine?
The joints are where our lymphatic fluid gets stuck most often. Moving all of your joints in little joint circles, that can be true for almost every joint in your body. There's fluid that's going to be sitting in the system when you wake up. When you're stimulating those major lymph node clusters, what you're doing is you're prepping those lymph nodes to receive more fluid. We're going to take just the tips of our thumbs and we're just going to put them right at the tip of the chin. We're going to sort of trace the inside border of our jawbone. And so we're just going to push all the way back until we get to our ears. I know a lot of people will use vibration plates or rebounders. You don't really need either of those things when you create that bouncing, that up and down. You're also activating your calf muscle. So it's like your second heart, your lymphatic heart.
What else can hinder the lymphatic system?
Breath is a really big one. When we're stressed, our breathing mechanics actually change.
Welcome to the Hormone Healing RD podcast, where you'll get clear, practical guidance for your healing journey. I'm Amanda Montalvo, women's health dietitian and mineral expert. After helping thousands of women in navigating my own healing, I know how overwhelming the wellness world can be. This show aims to cut through the noise with simple research and clinical-backed insights on hormones, minerals, and what your body truly needs to heal. And I have I feel like this is like the definition of a practical episode because I am actually interviewing my friend Leah. She's Lymph Love Club on Instagram. She's got a huge following. You've probably heard of her before. She's my favorite resource for everything lymph. And I've mentioned it quite a few times in previous episodes. I did an episode with her many years ago and I was like, we need a new one. We need something that is like not just explaining what lymph is, which we absolutely get into and what it is, what helps support it, what hinders it, all the things, why it's important for our health, especially as women, but also how the heck can we start working on like a super simple routine on a daily basis? And how can we build our own routine that's customized to us? So that's what we get into. If you don't know Leah, she's a licensed massage therapist and she specializes in lymph and fascia. She's really devoted her career to helping others heal beyond what they thought was possible by addressing two really important systems in the body, the nervous system and the lymphatic system. I love her work. I have literally done every single one of her courses. She's phenomenal. She's funny. The way she teaches is just so special. And I know that you're absolutely going to love this episode.
Thank you so much for being here, Leah. I am honored. I'm happy we get to connect again. I'm like, we're emailing. I'm like, I can't wait to just see your face again, you know, even if it's online.
Agreed. Thank you so much for having me. I feel like it's a full circle moment.
I know. It's been a few years, but it's really been so cool to see how Lymph Love Club has grown, how you've grown, and just, you know, you're just the best teacher. And I was like, I really want to do a lymph episode. It's very trendy right now. And I think there's a lot of confusion around it because people do things differently. People teach things differently. I don't think there's one perfect way to do everything, but just so that people can learn, okay, how does this relate to me and how can I actually try to incorporate this? And I'm like, there's no better person to do this with than Leah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for thinking of me.
Of course. Do you want to share how you got into lymph work to begin with?
Sure. So Dr. Perry Nicholson, he's like the lymph guy, right? I think so many people find the system thanks to him. He's been doing this stuff for a lot longer. So just as more of a junior massage therapist, I was just like, wait, why are some of my clients just not getting better? Or like, why am I not getting the same results with some clients when I'm using the same techniques on everybody? So I was kind of doing deeper tissue work, you know, just like a little more, I don't know, a little more intense. And so some of my more sensitive clients, I just was not really sure. I was missing a piece there. And I think it was that chronic inflammation piece, like pain. How does that work? A little more about the nervous system. So I got certified in athletic taping, which kinesiology tape is so good for lymphatic drainage. So I actually, that was sort of like my window in was that's how I found Perry. He used to be an instructor for this class. And so it just opened my eyes to this whole new world of approaching the body. And so that really motivated me to go back to school and to get certified as a lymphedema therapist. So working with the lymphatic system has been really incredible. And it's just changed the types of people that I work with, even though lymphatic drainage is great for athletes and recovery and injury prevention and just, you know, injury recovery too. It's just been really cool to come into this world. And so then I started teaching it because I found that there wasn't a whole lot of resources, especially outside of Perry. And Perry wasn't like super into like the women's health. He was just sort of like for everyone. And so I was like, wait, what about like breast health and reproductive health and all the things? So it was nice to kind of come in there as like the lady version, you know, to be like, all right, cool. Perry and I can sort of spread the message. And it's just felt really awesome to share that message.
Yeah. And you're really good at it. And if you guys don't follow Leah on Instagram, I'm telling you, it's, you have like, you'll learn, but you'll laugh. And to me, like, that's when I remember stuff, you know, when people teach it in a way where I'm like, there's like a song or a joke, or it's just so like broken down so simply, you can't help but be like, oh, that makes so much sense. I know how my adrenal glands work now. Like when you do stuff like that, it's just like, it's so cool. So if you don't follow Leah at Lymph Love Club, I highly recommend it. I'll put all her links and everything in the show notes as well. Let's get into, what is our lymphatic system? Why should women care about it? Why is it important for our health?
Yeah. So I think most of us are familiar with the cardiovascular system, you know, that fluid that's pumping through our body to nourish our cells. And running right alongside of that system, because there's a lot of little squishy fluid pipes that are kind of moving this fluid around, there's the lymphatic system. So the cardiovascular system and the lymphatic system make up our circulatory system, because our body's mostly made of water and mostly made of fluid. So we have this fluid layer that's sort of creating this environment for every single cell in our body. And we've got trillions of cells in our body. So unlike the cardiovascular system, which has the heart, you know, that central pumping to like move that stuff around, the lymphatic system doesn't have that. And so what often happens in our sedentary culture is that we're not really moving the way that we used to hundreds of thousands of years ago, when we were sort of hunting and gathering and squatting and, you know, bashing rocks together and grinding up seeds and all the things that we used to do. I mean, even think about rolling a window down. We used to manually roll the window down in our car and brush our teeth. And now we've gone all electric.
Oh, that's so true when you think about it.
Yeah. So it's like there's all these movements that have sort of been taken out of our existence as a human. And so I think that our function really can suffer sometimes, you know, because it's like exercise is great. And I love moving my body. And I try to do it like 3 or 4 times a week. And I've got this allotted time to do it. But it's all the other things that we're doing throughout the day. And I do a lot of computering and sitting. And so this fluid can slow down. And because it's sort of sweeping away the things that don't belong in our body, whether it's metabolic waste or environmental chemicals that are coming from the outside, those things can start to circulate. They're not getting out as quickly as they could. So the lymphatic system is sort of filtering this fluid, this like overrun of fluid that's kind of bathed our cells. And so it picks up the remaining fluid, puts it into circulation, and it's filtered through our lymph nodes, these like little tiny organs of our lymphatic system. And so it's a huge part of our immune system, because there are immune cells flowing through this fluid. There's also nutrients flowing through it. So it's not just like toxic sludge. It's really making sure that the good stuff is circulating around too. But all of that fluid actually goes back into circulation in our cardiovascular system, so that our detox organs can filter that blood and then do their detox thing to like remove that stuff from our body. But when we are, you know, maybe overrun with stress and that piece of like not moving enough, and maybe we've got some nutritional deficiencies, which is like your beautiful area of expertise, where our cells aren't getting what they need, or our body isn't able to absorb them. And so we just sort of get this like domino effect. And because the lymphatic system is so body wide, well, I mean, we have a lymphatic system in our brain. So think about that neurological or nervous system aspect, where I have a lot of clients that have brain fog. Myself, I deal with it too. And so I'm just like, oh, brain fog. It's like brain clog.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay.
And there's a ton of lymph in our gut. And so that brain gut connection is huge. And so it's just, you know, it's one of the most powerful and influential systems in the body, which I think is something that Perry is so good at driving home. He's just like, this is it, you guys. He's like the mad scientist of like, this is why we should care. It's because it's how our body does anything well, you know? And so we want to be able to take care of that system, but we have to first become aware of it. So that's like step one. And then from there, it's actually like pretty easy to take care of, but it's one of those things where, you know, there's so much information out there and everybody's teaching things a little bit differently. And so you and I talked about that, just like the overrun of commodifying health and all these gadgets that are available. And like, you can buy your way into lymphatic health. And so it's sort of like a remembering to like, just come back to the body and touch and movement and hydration and all the foundations of health that we know we need, that true north, you know? And then the tools are extra and they're great.
Yeah, they're definitely like the cherry on top, you know, because if you think about it, it's like, when do most people feel their best? Not when they do something like once a day for 10 minutes or however long you're going to rebound or stand in your vibration plate or whatever. It's typically when you're working it into little increments throughout your day and you're kind of taking it with you. So it's like, if you sat all day, if you're sedentary all day, but you jump on your rebounder for 10 minutes, is it better than not doing it? Yes. But is it going to completely shift your health? Probably not. You know, it's probably not going to have as big of an impact versus you digging into like all the foundations. Can we talk a little bit more? So sitting, what else can hinder the lymphatic system? What are like the big things that you're like, okay, because before we're going to like try to support something, it's like, what are things that maybe we, instead of adding something in, could we just take it out when it comes to like, what can make it not function as optimally?
Yeah. Well, there's that movement piece is huge because that is one of the primary ways that our lymphatic system gets, that fluid gets circulating. Breath is a really big one. I think, you know, when we're stressed, we're breathing really shallowly. Our breathing mechanics actually change. When we breathe, our diaphragm is supposed to extend down and really massage our visceral organs and pump that main lymphatic channel that runs right through it. It's called the thoracic duct. There's like a little passageway. It's about the width of a pencil that runs right through it. And that's all the lymphatic fluid from the lower body, as well as the digestive tract. And so every time you breathe, you're getting that massage. But if, say, like your rib cage isn't fully expanding and that diaphragm is not moving as fully as it could, that's a huge hindrance. So tapping into the breath is a huge part of our lymphatic health. Another one, let's see, we got movement, breath, our fascia, our connective tissue that sort of creates this structure for our body, the scaffolding for our lymphatic system. That is something that's going to contract separately from muscle, even though it's like sort of weaved into all of our tissues and it's holding everything together and separating everything. That can become a little bit shortened and constricted. And part of that stress piece, it sort of fits into there because our connective tissue is hardwired to our nervous system. And when we're stressed, things sort of contract and constrict, you know, things get smaller. We get smaller. We start to even like curl forward in the fetal position. And that's a huge one because our lymphatic vessels are constricting. And so that can slow flow as well. Scar tissue is another one. Also, that's connective tissue. That's the body creating a permanent suture to close something that's sort of, you know, punctured in to the tissue. And so a lot of clients that I'm working with that are either recovering from breast cancer or they've had some sort of surgery, that scar tissue is something that we want to work on and soften, you know, even an old C-section scar. We'll have women come in. Maybe they've got a little something going on where they've just, the fluid has never really been able to like circulate the way that it did before pregnancy. And so sort of optimizing that and getting in the belly and working on some fascial adhesions and just exploring that tissue and seeing where we can soften it.
Do you get a lot of endometriosis clients?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we sure do.
Because I think scar tissue, I think endo from like laparoscopic surgery and stuff and like all the adhesions that can form. And I'm like, oh, they would do so well with lymphatic support, you know, get like that manual kind of support. And like, I know hydration's a big one. Typically that obviously can support it, but if you're dehydrated, that can affect how
nothing's working well. Yeah.
I know literally nothing in the body's just going to work, right? Like nothing's going to work.
We're mostly made of water. So if we don't drink water, things are not going to go as we want them to.
Yeah. And minerals and stuff. And I'm going to do a little bonus episode that's got where I get more into like minerals that support your lymphatic system. Cause I can see, usually I can look at someone's hair test. If they have a lot of liver stress, of course, it can be, I'm like, all right, that's part of drainage, right? Is like supporting your lymphatic system. But even just very low minerals, it's like people can really struggle with that detoxification and lymph support.
Yeah. And those two just go hand in hand too. It's like, if we're not able to eliminate things, then that's going to be a huge problem because it's all going to kind of kick back into the lymphatic system. So,
yeah. So those are the big areas. And then as far as like, so we'll get into like building a daily lymphatic routine. And it's like, it's short. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. And Leah has a lot of really great content on this. So if you just even go to her Instagram, you'll find like little snippets of like, you could put lotion on this way, or you could do it this way. Like even like these tiny little micro habits, I believe you called them, that you can work it into what you're already doing. It doesn't have to be like, okay, I need another 30 minutes every morning to do a lymph routine.
Little gua sha treatment. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have, I mean, I do it every single day and I have two little kids with me and they jump, they do the jumps and everything with me. It's like, they love it. So you can make it work and you can also like shorten it. And we'll talk about that, but I'm curious, like, what are different aspects you'd be looking for if someone's like, all right, I want to start supporting my lymphatic system. What should I consider? Like, what should I consider having in my routine?
Well, I think this is something that we teach all of our clients that are coming into Align here in Austin. It's like, we want to do the lymphatic stuff, but we also want to teach people how to be with their body and to be with that system and to support it. So it's like there's every level, every tier that you could imagine. You just grab whichever one's going to suit you that day. Like if you have a little less time, I feel like the foundation for me is making sure to have a nice glass of water to get those fluids kind of circulating. It's like, doesn't that water absorb just so fast, right? It's like hydration is kind of happening in real time. So it's like you can get hydrated and then start moving your lymphatic fluid and it's good to go. And so I usually will do Dr. Perry's Big Six. And that's sort of like the entry level. It takes what, like 2 minutes to do all six of the points. You do them in a particular order. You can find that tutorial anywhere. If you type in the Big Six, Dr. Perry, it'll come right up and in a million different ways and in a million different ways, I'm sure. Even I teach it a little bit differently than he does. And that's just like the way that I like to teach it. I'm like, I just want to put like a little stank on it. You know, I want like a little bit more in the neck. But so you do like that little 2 minute thing and stay hydrated. And I've got my own little thing like for the face. So it's sort of a Big Six for the face. And I like to stack those two together. And that's either the five phase framework or the Fab Five. They're both the same. They're both the same thing, but people have different names for them, but those are the top two. It's like Fab Five, Big Six. And it's just easy. It's easy to remember. And once you memorize those 11 points, you're golden and you're golden in like less than 5 minutes. If that's all you can do for your lymphatic system that day, that's amazing. And then that's where you can sort of add and, you know, pick and choose what's going to be good for you, what's necessary for you. So I will usually go, I have like my morning routine is that I want to get hydrated first thing in the morning because the lymphatic fluid is a little bit thicker. It's like a little bit stickier because we've not drank anything all night. Our breathing gets really shallow and we haven't moved a lot. So we got to like, get it going. And then I'll kind of go outside and the sun is rising. Usually sometimes I'm late, sometimes I'm early. It's fine, but I try to get outside just to get a little bit of nature, to get my bare feet into the dirt, do like a little bit of grounding. And then that's when I'm doing like get the fluid circulating with the Big Six or the Fab Five or both. And then I'll add in like a little bit of joint movement. You know, we want to, the joints are where our lymphatic fluid gets stuck most often, because those joints, again, sort of circling back to that sedentary culture, we're not getting as much movement in our joints as we need to by design. And so moving all of your joints in like little joint circles, you could kind of start with like a circular motion. And that can be true for almost every joint in your body. You could do like neck circles and spinal spirals and shoulder circles and wrist circles and knee circles. And you can just work from the top of your body and go all the way down. And then after you've kind of pumped some of the fluid through the joints, just with that muscle activation and joint movement, then we bring in a little bit of like bouncing. And so I know a lot of people will use vibration plates or rebounders. You don't really need either of those things to move your lymphatic fluid, because once you've changed the pressure, the lymphatic system is a pressure system. The lowest point of pressure is behind the collarbones, which is why the Big Six and the Fab Five start with point number one at the collarbones. So it's like once you change that pressure and you've got things circulating, then when you create that bouncing, that up and down, well, you're also activating your calf muscles. So it's like your second heart, right? Your lymphatic heart. And so that's helping bringing the fluid from the lower body back up towards the heart. But also that movement, that up and down, that elevator kind of movement works with the design of the lymphatic vessels. They have these little flaps that prevent backflow. And so that just helps to sort of like push the lymph back up. Like one valve at a time.
And so when we're starting with, I have so many logistical questions I know people are going to have, so I will get there. But when we're starting with the Big Six and kind of activating things, you're doing that to get the lymph nodes ready, right? To like turn things on again. And because I see a lot of people skip this or they don't understand it. And I'm like, even just a little bit, just like a little bit, you know, it doesn't have to be anything crazy to like really wake things up so that it helps things drain properly before you start moving around, like bouncing and joint work and stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely. So it's like, you know, there's fluid that's going to be sitting in the system when you wake up. And so when you're stimulating those major lymph node clusters, what you're doing is you're sort of prepping those lymph nodes and preparing them to receive more fluid. Because when you pump behind the collarbones, that's going to change. When I say change the pressure, I'm realizing I didn't clarify that it's creating like a very subtle vacuuming. So then it starts to sort of pull that lymphatic fluid back into circulation, and it speeds up the smooth muscle contraction that lines the inside of our lymphatic vessels. So just like our gut has muscle that sort of pushes feces along the digestive tract, we also have that same type of muscle that sort of slowly, you know, pushes and contracts the lymphatic fluid through the valves. And so you're assisting the body, but you're also telling the body like, hey, we're going to do a little bit more now. And you're using touch to communicate that. So then, you know, they just our physiology and the nervous system being like, okay, here we go. We're contracting these muscles a little bit more.
I notice a big shift in my nervous system when I'm doing my kind of like supportive routine. I also do it outside just to get that morning light. You can support your circadian rhythm, do your lymphatic work all at once and get time outside. I think it's like the most beautiful thing you can do to support yourself, especially when you start your day like that. I notice a big shift in just like, I feel calmer, you know, and I definitely notice versus like if I skip it, I'm too busy, I have too much to do, or like someone needs something. It's like, no, it's never worth skipping it. My question is about the face. So this is probably the question we can go through it. Also, like when you're doing it. So say you're getting up, you're drinking your water, you're getting outside and you're like, time to do my lymphatic support. Are you using oil when you do it outside in the morning? I don't either, but people always ask, they're like, when you do it, do you need to use oil? So, and would you want to answer that one for people?
Yeah. So the superficial lymphatic system, if you just pick up the tissue on your forearm, just pinch your arm. Anything that you can pinch and pick up is your superficial lymphatic system. So that's like, you know, that outer layer. And so when we're working with our skin, not like on our skin. So it's like whenever you're sort of massaging oil into the skin, you're probably sliding along the surface of the skin versus getting traction on the skin. And it's really the mobilization of that skin that's pumping those lymphatic vessels. Like that's what makes it more effective. And not to say that oil doesn't belong in a ritual, you know, it's like a self, it's, if it's a beautiful oil and it makes you feel great and it's good for your skin, awesome. But for the lymph, you know, it's like, it's good to be able to make surface contact with your hand and the skin and just like really be able to move it, move that skin.
Our monthly cycle is like a report card. Understanding how to track your cycle and know what is and is not normal as far as your symptoms can go can help you identify possible hormone imbalances and whether or not maybe you're making nutrition, lifestyle, or supplement changes. It'll just give you an idea if those are working for you or not. And this is why I created my free Healthy Period Starter Guide. It walks you through all the different phases of your cycle, how to track, teaches you what's at the root of different hormone imbalances, and even has a section for nutrition tips for healthy hormones. I think every woman should have this knowledge easily accessible to them, which is why I made it. You can grab the guide via the link in the show notes, or you can go to my website, hormonehealingrd.com, and you can find it under the guides and support section. When I do my skincare at nighttime, I do, obviously my face is all greased up. So there's definitely oil in that situation, but I'm like, you know, I'm like, I didn't even think about it in the morning. I'm just kind of like, I learned from you that I always start like with my face before I do any sort of like jumping or anything. And I feel like it does make a significant difference in how I feel after, because we want to, and just like the, you know, your collarbones, like you want to get that all activated since that's like the number one place where it's going to be draining. But I'm like, I never really thought about that, I guess. And people ask a lot. So hopefully that makes people feel better that you don't have to put oil on your face to do it if you don't want to. Do you want to go through what the face, how to do a lymphatic drainage on your face?
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is like a little quickie drainage. So if you want like a deeper dive, I have like a head and neck drainage course that kind of that starts basically and works in this order. So it's sort of picking through all of these five phases that we're going to go through of drainage. So for the anatomy piece, that collarbone area, that triangular space at the top of your shoulder, the base of your neck, you can just, you know, you can see it and you can feel it. And so that's point number one. So that's where all that lymphatic fluid is going back in. A third of the lymph nodes in our body are actually located in our head and neck. And the way that they exit or the way that they drain, there are two major chains that run down the sides of the neck. And so that those lymph nodes are receiving all of the fluid that's draining from above. Underneath the jaw, we have lymph nodes that are draining our teeth and our tongue and a portion of our face. And so, you know, we're going to work under here. And then we have lymph nodes in front of and behind the ears. And we also have some just on either side of our sinuses. And so we're going to address those in the order that that is going to help sort of shuffle that fluid in the most efficient way possible. So if you want to, you're going to follow along with me. Oh yeah, we're going to do it. Okay. So we're just going to, I like to crisscross my hands and just sort of place them over my collarbones, but sometimes this can be a little hard on the wrist. So if you just want to do one side and then the other, you can alternate between your hand positions, but I usually just do them at the same time. And I'm just kind of pumping in a circular motion towards the base of my neck and just kind of pressing my fingers down into that space. This is a great opportunity to just like take a breath, you know, like, okay, drop into this practice, like find your source of inspiration. Like here, we just need a moment for ourselves.
I have my affirmations I say every day.
Oh, nice. Okay. Let's hear it. Give me an affirmation.
Mine are all like stress and mom related.
Excellent.
Well, my favorite one is something amazing is going to happen to me today. I say that every day, always does.
I love that. Okay.
And then I say, I have all the time to get my most important work done.
Oh, I love that.
Both mom work and work. Because there's so many things I want to accomplish in a day. And sometimes it just gets overwhelming. And I'm like, it's all good. I don't have to know how it's going to get done. It's going to get done.
I love that. So we've changed the pressure. We have set our affirmations. We are ready to move on to number two. So I like to take my wrists together and I like put your wrists together, open your hands and create like a little U-shaped seat. Now you're going to hug your neck. Just put your hands on the side and you're going to press backwards and down. So we're just getting some full neck coverage. We're trying to get a little stretch on the skin. There's no oil, so we're not kind of sliding and gliding. We're really pushing that skin backwards, just very gently, and then pumping downwards. So that might look like a backwards, you know, circular motion. And so this is going to help clear out the lymph that's kind of sitting in these lymph nodes and lymphatic vessels to create space for the fluid that's going to drain from above. And this particular location is important because we've got our vagus nerve here. So this is very stimulating for relaxation. It's communicating safety to our nervous system so we feel safe in our body in this moment. And the lymphatic fluid that's draining from our brain also drains into these lymph nodes. You might actually notice some saliva production when you're here because, again, we're creating some physiological change with touch, and that's so cool. So that's point number two. Point number three is going to be on the lymph nodes underneath the jaw. I don't know if you've ever wake up with just kind of some fullness around the jaw or some puffiness around the jaw. This is a very common area for congestion. I think it has a lot to do with our tongue posture. A lot of times our tongue is just kind of hanging out on the floor of our mouth, and this is kind of a diaphragm. If we can suction our tongue up to the roof of our mouth, it's going to help change the pressure and create sort of better flow mechanics in the face. But that's another podcast episode, right? So so we're going to take just the tips of our thumbs and we're just going to put them right at the tip of the chin. And here we're going to sort of trace the inside border of our jawbone. And so we're just going to push all the way back until we get to our ears. You could give it a little wiggle if you'd like while you're back there. And then we're going to repeat this process. So as Dr. Perry says, there's no magic number. The reason that he says that is because it's just like, just do it already. You want to do it if you can do it 5 times today, that's how much time you have. Great. If you could do it 20 times today, because that's how much time you have. Great. You're not going to break it. It's not going to work. It's not ever not good enough. So just show up however you can. But for my type A people, if you need a number, 5 to 7 times is great. Okay. So we've got the jaw open and flowy. And now we're going to move on to point number four, which is the lymph nodes in front of and behind the ear. So the lymph nodes in front of the ear are actually receiving a lot of the fluid from the face, which drains laterally. So from this, if you draw like an imaginary line down the center of your face and neck, everything's going to sort of, it's like the roof of your house, and that fluid's going to flow down the sides and into the gutters. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take either, you could do a peace sign where you're just using one finger in front of the ear and one behind. You kind of sandwich your ear in between your fingers. There are other methods. One of them is Spock hands, which is 2 fingers. So you could try 2 fingers, 1 finger, whatever. I often find that I will do 1 finger because I don't know. That's just what I do. So you can do this sort of like the neck where you're pressing backwards and down and that circular pumping motion moving towards the heart. But you could also just rub up and down if that felt good. So we're just really stimulating these lymph nodes, and how you stimulate them isn't of much concern to your lymph nodes, as long as you're not causing pain and it feels like you're mobilizing the skin, you're doing it right. And then point number five, we've got these little lymph nodes that sit right on top of our sinus cavities. And so you can take a single finger, or you can use your knuckle, whatever feels best for you. And you can just press into this squishy space. You might even be able to feel like a little spot that feels kind of more tender. There's a little hole there for vasculature to pass through, and that lymph node sits right on top. So pressing into this area is really going to help open the sinuses. And if you ever wake up with fluid underneath your eyes, like I do sometimes, that fluid actually drains down to these lymph nodes. So by pressing into this particular area, it'll help kind of clear out some of the fluid from underneath the eyes. And you can prioritize breathing in and out through your nose while you're here. You could do some little circular motion if you want. You can rub or you can really just like let it be. If holding your arms up is difficult for you or pressing into the tissue space feels just a little bit too demanding, you can actually use the weight of your head and a flat surface in front of you. You can put your elbows down on the table in front of you and then just like lean your head forward so that you can do it a little bit easier if you need to. And so those are the 5 points and the 5 phases of lymphatic drainage. And that's the order that we move in. We're sort of just like emptying, draining, and just working step by step.
Yeah. And you guys, obviously this is on YouTube as well. You can watch this. If you do it a few times, I feel like I remember this stuff so quick and I am not always that way with things. I tend to have to like reference it. So I still do the same like routine that I learned from you a million years ago for my face because I'm like, it works. Why change it? Okay. So we don't need any. Okay. The other thing I want to talk about, because this is probably one of my favorite things about the way that you teach, is the fascia piece, how you're like, it feels a little tight here and you're trying to get in there. You kind of like, you give ways to like loosen up, reduce the tension in the fascia in some ways. Like I always, what's the one you do under here? It's like, you're just like kind of loosening up, like, especially like if you get tension here, like, or even like in your neck. I've noticed for me, when I started incorporating that before I get into the routine, I'm like, wow, this makes a big difference. And I'm not like incredibly tight. So I imagine like for most people that maybe they've tried to do some lymphatic stuff, that's usually what I hear. Well, I tried it, didn't work for me. It's like, I wonder for a lot of people if it's a fascia thing.
Yeah, it so can be, because a lot of the people that hit my table that I'm actually putting my hands on and working with, I'm finding things where it's like, oh, I don't know if that tissue is able to actually drain properly just because of the tension in there. And it's not necessarily like muscular. It's like our wrapping, our packaging. And so it can be more superficial. I mean, it can be deep as well. Like sometimes I'm getting deep into the armpit area to like help the armpit drain, because sometimes people have kind of like tender armpits and the lymph nodes can get swollen in there during certain parts of the cycle. And so I'm kind of in there like, all right, how are your shoulders gliding up against your rib cage? How well are your collarbones able to rise and lower when you lift your shoulders? It's going back to that sedentary piece where we're not really lifting our arms up and above our head as much as we used to. And we're certainly not doing a lot of hanging, you know, to kind of open that connective tissue. So there's so many little things that we can do, and tools can be helpful here, but you can also use your hands. So if you want it just like a little, we could do like a little opening stretch for the front of the neck if you'd like.
Yeah, I think that would be so nice for people.
There's so many like little techniques. So I'm like, I don't even know where to start.
I know. Even just like super simple, like if you're feeling tight when you're doing this and you're kind of like, I don't know if like I need to do anything else first. Like the first time I did this, I was like, oh, okay, this is how it's supposed to feel.
Yeah. So let's just get a feel for our connective tissue and how connected everything is. So we're going to just like open up the front of the neck. And so from like a muscular standpoint, we have this really crazy muscle. It's called the platysma, and it just sort of, it attaches to the jaw, but it also attaches to the collarbone. It's just like a giant sheet. And this thin sheet muscle, it's going to get a little bit jammed up sometimes. And so we're going to stretch that, since it's right over the collarbones. That's going to help our collarbones move a little bit better, fluid drain a little bit better. So what you can do, we need to get some compression. So we need to sort of pin our connective tissue before we can try to stretch it. And we're not really trying to stretch it to elongate it. We're trying to stretch it to create like some fluid flow in there, because the superficial lymphatic system is in there. So let's just take our palm and place it over our breastbone, over your sternum. And what you can do is just traction down, sort of pull your skin just down towards your belly button. Now take the other hand, and we're just going to sort of reassure this pin that we've got before we stretch. So let's lower our chin towards our chest, see if we can sink down into that gentle stretch a little bit more. And then from here, let's slowly bring our chin up towards the ceiling. So you can just slowly open the front of the throat here, trying to relax the throat as you do this. And you will probably feel that pulling in your jaw, maybe even behind your ear. And then you can take your chin and sort of point it up and over, like to the right side and then the left. And the last little zhuzh that you could do is just open your jaw and jut your chin out to get an even deeper stretch.
Feels so good. My jaw cracked when I did that.
Yes, not responsible for cracking jaws, okay? Self-care is your own risk. No.
But yeah, I think to me, like those little, it's not anything crazy. It's, you know, but it's like doing something like that, especially if you feel like tighter, or I feel like, especially when you first wake up in the morning and stuff, it can just make a big difference.
And you can move that pin from the center of the chest. You could do the side and then like bladder, you know, open it from the other side, open it from that side. And then there's also like a little something like that for every part of our body, from our fingers and toes to our armpits and scalp.
It's like, do what feels good. You know, it feels good. I feel like it's a good guide. And that's why I always love how you're encouraging people to like, just try to really be there in your body. And like, how do you feel? How are you breathing? All these little things, and just like taking a moment for yourself. So all right, so the parts of lymphoroutine: hydrate, go outside if you can, big six, and I'll link to a video. Do you have your own video?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I've got one on our YouTube channel.
Okay, I'll grab it.
It actually is like how to build a morning routine. And so it kind of touches on a lot of these points, and then I do like a follow along.
Cool. I'll make sure that I link that. We did the Fab Five for the face, and then that's when you can bring in joint movement, circular motions in your joints, get those opened up, since a lot of lymph gets clogged up there. And then bouncing, which when it comes to like bouncing, are your feet, whether it's on a rebounder or not, are your feet supposed to leave the ground, or is it just like very gentle bounces?
That is up to the individual and like living in their body, because sometimes your feet do not have to leave the ground to get the benefits. You can really just bounce gently. You could do it like really slowly to engage your calf muscles, to like really just sort of tune more into that muscular pumping. Or you could shake really quickly and kind of create like your own vibration plate. You know what I mean? So my friend Kara taught me that. She calls it jitterbug. So you can just like shake your whole body and like shake it out. And that shaking is really, our body loves that. Like our nervous system loves that. It's very relaxing, because you're just sort of actively trying to release any tension that you might be holding. And I find that we hold a lot of tension in our shoulders and our belly. We just sort of like guard our belly. And so just like let everything shake. Let your belly go.
And your glutes. I feel like women are always squeezing their glutes, especially after you have kids or if you're pregnant. It's like your glutes are just, and which means your pelvic floor is also very tight.
Yeah. So shaking is up for interpretation.
Okay. I love that. So those are kind of like the components. If you can't do all of them, it's not the end of the world. Definitely not. And like for the most part, I feel like it doesn't take me any longer than 10 minutes, usually much less, because I'm outside with my kids doing it. But oh, for the face, I have to say this. Moms, learn the face. And when your kids get sick, do it on their face. It's like my youngest one, she's like 18 months. She's been sick, like all just congested and everything. And like, I do it throughout the day. I do it before bed. In the morning time, the amount of boogers that come out of this baby. But then she's like totally good. And I've noticed that it clears things up a lot quicker versus if I forget to do it or if I'm just not being as consistent. But oh my gosh. And they learn to love it. My oldest is like your textbook first child. Couldn't be easier. My second is your standard, like stereotypical second child, just a wild child. But if I do things in a routine over and over for her, she does really well eventually. And so, because I know that's like usually the pushback, my kid's not going to sit there. It's like, then just do two things and like explain to them what you're doing. Like I make funny little stories up while I'm doing the stuff on her face, and everything's like an animal or something. And like that's how I get her to lay there. But now she will just lay down and massage, you know, because she knows it makes her feel better. Kids are amazing. If you like, the things that my kids know, I'm like, do you know how easy your life's going to be when you're older, because you already know how to take care of yourself and you're not going to have like all these things pop up. But it is very, the face of even just these two points when they're like super congested make a huge difference. So if you have children and it's sixth season when this is coming out, you can also do this on them and it makes a big difference. Okay. I have to ask this question because you did an email about it and I get a lot of criticism for my tattoos. And people often say just like that, it's like, how can I do this job and, you know, have tattoos and stuff. And I'm like, I know you've talked about this before. Can we talk about the tattoos in the lymphatic system? And
of course I'm covered in tattoos. And, you know, it's funny because I think, of course, they're like more socially acceptable than they were 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And I think a lot of people have them. And so it is like a point of concern too, because I'm not a huge fan of like fear in marketing, fear for selling something. And I feel like there's a lot of fear being used to sort of motivate people to take care of their lymphatic system, because we're just toxic waste dumps, right? We got to detox, detox, detox. And I mean, detoxification is important, but I also think it's important that it's gentle and intuitive, and we have to nourish as well as replenish, not just ask so much from the body. But I digress. So tattoos, I have a ton of them. Yes, you know, tattoos are not good for us. We're learning more and more too. And so there is more recent research that's showing that there's like maybe an increase in the possibility of developing lymphoma. But that's also one study. And according in human dissection, what we're noticing is that lymph nodes will kind of catch that ink. Because when you get a tattoo, your body, your immune system, your lymphatic system is trying to remove that ink. It doesn't belong there, right? And that's the lymphatic system's job. And so some of that ink is getting taken up into the system, and then it gets stuck in our lymph nodes, those nanoparticles of the ink. And not all ink is created equal, and not all tattoos are either. You know, if you have like a little something on your wrist and it's the only tattoo you have, please don't panic. If you're covered head to toe, also, you know, it's just like, what are you going to do? It's like
I have them literally on my lymph nodes, guys. It's too late. Okay. But do you worry about that? I'm like, no, why are you worrying?
Life is awfully short, you know? And so the lymphatic piece and the tattoo piece, it's just one of those where we support where we can. Like I know that I have a lymph node in my hip actually that is a reactive lymph node. And so that's a lymph node that sort of waxes and wanes, and it just sort of like will get bigger and smaller depending on how well things are moving. And I guarantee that is from a large calf tattoo that I got that swelled up to the size of a softball when it was healing. And I felt like that lymph node popped up like shortly after that. And I was like, all right, that's my little dude. I should just give him a name and call it a day.
It's just communication. Is it great? People ask me, are you going to like, do you regret it? Yes. I got these when I was like 18 years old. Okay. I was like, I got my last tattoo at like 20 or something. That's like over 15 years ago. Will I advise my children not to get them? Yes. At least I'm going to say, don't get them in certain spots. Is that like,
that is safe to say. Yeah, for sure. I think obviously I would personally never get a tattoo like on my neck or the front of my throat in the armpit area, like just like absolutely slapping it like right on top of the axillary lymph node clusters. I probably wouldn't do that. But I have seen it. I don't see a whole lot of armpit tattoos, I'll tell you. But also like the backs of the knees, we have a couple of lymph nodes there. And then just sort of realizing that the lower body just has a harder time circulating fluid. Tattoos on the lower body in those hinge joints where things are not moving as well as they could, especially if we're not moving enough. But yeah, I think it's just something that we can slowly work on. You know, it's like we're aware that maybe we have a little bit more heavy metals that we need to pay attention to, and what can we do to support our body there. But that those tattoos are going to be there. But our lymphatic system will always try to remove them for the rest of our life, because tattoos fade over time, right? And that's because it's kind of slowly trying to chip away at it. But that ink is actually encapsulated in scar tissue, and your body has done that to protect you. And so those tattoos are there. They're preserved in the skin, encapsulated in scar tissue. So that's helpful, right?
Yeah. And then I have gotten questions about like, should you get them removed? But I'm pretty sure that makes it worse.
It does. It's my opinion that it does. And I think that we need more research on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's just sort of like a thing that people do is they blast those particles and break them down. But that breaking them down only makes them into smaller and smaller particles. So what does that mean?
I have seen people have like a health crisis after getting a bunch of tattoos removed.
Yeah, in my opinion, because they're encapsulated in scar tissue, my body has done that because it's so wise. I'm going to leave it there. But I understand why people want to have them removed. You know, it's like if you have a very unsavory opinion tattooed on your body that you know that it no longer aligns with your values. Get it removed.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you feel like you need to.
I think that people think it's going to be the fixer of like, I've had people ask me, are you going to get any of yours removed? I was like, no, because I don't want to make anything worse, you know? So, I was like, I got to cover this because I get asked about my tattoos a lot. And I'm like, okay, guys.
What are we going to do? Chop our arms off? I guess I could.
And like, would I do it again? No, I wouldn't. And I have two little girls. I'm going to advise them not to. And if they want one, to just like keep it small and to think about their health and stuff. But I was like,
but also think long and hard about what that thing is, because you have to look at it for the rest of your life. So better love it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Leah. I hope that this inspires people to work on a little morning routine. And when you're just getting started, just pick one thing. It doesn't have, you don't do everything. Maybe you just do the big six. Maybe you just do the fab five. Maybe you just go outside and drink water, like whatever it is. But just picking one thing and building on it, I think could be incredibly helpful. And we've had clients incorporate a lot of this, especially like starting with like big six and stuff. And they notice a huge difference. Like, wow, I really like this routine. So hopefully everyone gets motivated. And I'm going to put all the links and resources and stuff for your courses. I mean, you have amazing courses. They're so accessible. And I truly think anyone can do them. Where can people find you?
Lymph Love Club is pretty much our handle everywhere. So you can find us at lymphloveclub.com. We're also on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and.
Oh my gosh, TikTok? I don't even have to.
I don't go into TikTok. My husband runs that one for me.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Okay. And then you have something I think could be helpful for people is you have your Lymph Love Club membership too. If people ever want to like find a way to like, if they're not in Austin, they're like, I want more of Leah. Who doesn't want more of Leah? Wants to learn from you more. That is something that you offer as well.
Yeah. So you can come and see me in person as well. If you're in Austin, Texas, we've got a great team of people and we're happy to help kind of assess, you know, like what you have going on, and then also just educate you about the lymphatic system and really help you kind of build a routine that works for what you have going on, because every body is so different, but the system, you know, overall is going to respond in a great way if we find the right way to access it. And for the community, you know, we actually have a live morning flow on Wednesday mornings at dawn. I do it in my backyard. I film from my backyard. And so we kind of move our lymph together in that way. And then on Saturdays, we also meet and have a lymphatic drainage or lymphatic movement class. And so it's just a way of like, getting things moving, getting the fluids circulating, learning a little bit about this, that, and the other. And sometimes we do use tools as well. So it's like the cupping and the fascial work and the all things lymph. We're going to be talking about it. We're going to be nerding out about it, and we're going to be doing stuff about it.
Yes. I love learning from Leah. I still like all the knowledge that I learned initially, and I still follow you on Instagram and love all your stuff. I think I have all your courses anyway, and can't recommend your work enough. If there's one thing you could recommend that someone after listening to this episode, if they're like, if you can only tell them one thing to do to support the lymphatic system, what would it be?
It would be to breathe. Because that, I think our breath really shapes our body, right? And it shapes the experience that we're having. And that's something that we can actually tap into. And so that sort of trickles down into everything else. If we're able to just like take a breath and show up in our lives presently And so it would definitely be to harness the breath because it's free and it's accessible. You can't forget it when you go on vacation, and you can't feel guilty when you like forget it under the sink, you know, like a dry brush, like, oh, I haven't dry brushed in months. Like you've been breathing like 20,000 times per day. You are a breathing champion. So you can't really fail at breathing, but you can get better at it with awareness and with practice.
Yes. Just paying a little bit more attention to it. So I love that so much. Thank you for sharing your time with us and your expertise. And that's it, guys. If you want to stay in touch with me, make sure that you're on my Feminine Periodical newsletter. It goes out every Sunday. The link is in the show notes. All my freebies, the mineral quiz, the thyroid course, the period guide, and a million other things that I've created are all in the show notes for free resources for you. And that's it. I'll see you guys in the next episode.
Thanks.